From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Bloch.
I'm Robert Siegel, and this week we are reporting from the city of Chengdu. It's in southwestern China, in Sichuan. We actually were here before the earthquake. We'd been planning a series of special programs from here for months. As it happened, the earthquake struck. We were the rare Western news organization in Chengdu. Since then, of course, we've been joined by lots of other news networks, newspapers, and magazines who've sent staff here.
We're going to hear now about how the Chinese media have been covering this earthquake disaster, and we're joined here in Chengdu by NPR's Beijing correspondent Anthony Kuhn. Anthony, thanks so much.
Thank you, Melissa.
You have a large stack of Chinese language newspapers in front of you, and I'm struck by the fact that typically these newspapers are full of color photographs and red banners. Today, nothing but black and white.
That's right, Melissa. It's clear from these papers that this is a historic and most unusual day. I personally have not seen papers looking like this since 1997, when the then paramount leader Deng Xiaoping passed away. So this is clearly a most unusual day.
And of course, the day that starts 3 days of national mourning. This is a Chengdu paper, and on the front page, a black background and two large white Chinese characters. What does this say?
This says Guoshang, and it means a sort of a national injury or wound which is reserved for the most serious of calamities. And the second character here, Shang, connotes a premature death, a death that should not have happened. And it connotes that this has caused a serious wound upon the national psyche. It's a very rarely used term for the most serious and most... one of the saddest events.
Anthony, I just turned the page, and there are four columns of photos of children here. Are these death notices?
No, these are in fact children who are looking for their family members. And each picture has the child's name, their hometown, and the relative they're looking for. So these are all survivors looking for lost family members.
And this is maybe 50 photos. You can imagine how many more children are doing just the same.
Right. Here's my heroic story of the week. A young police officer who has opened her uniform and is breastfeeding two babies here. The headline says, "Police Mama Breastfeeds 8 Infants in 2 Days."
I imagine this is one of those images that will become iconic across China, Anthony. That's a remarkable shot.
Yep, and this is clearly a rural young policewoman from Jiangyou City in Sichuan, and she's saying, "My babies are babies. The refugees' babies are babies. They're all mama's babies."
A lot of the coverage that I've seen, Anthony, seems to be focusing on the heroism of these Chinese soldiers. And of course, not so long ago, the Chinese army had a very different role. If you think back to Tiananmen Square.
Yes, this is a certain format for the media, the creation of heroes. Of course, they create heroes out of ordinary workers, out of, you know, bus drivers and all this. But soldiers play a especially big role, and they try to use these examples to show that these are, you know, the people's army, very close to the people. It's a standard sort of format of reporting, and we're seeing an awful lot of it these days.
Anthony, there's been a steady stream of images of China's top leaders, first the premier Wen Jiabao and now the president Hu Jintao, who have been in these earthquake zones, sitting on the ground with survivors, clasping their hands, hugging children, telling them, "We feel your pain." Is this a different image of China's leadership than Chinese people are used to seeing?
This is a trademark move or gesture by the current administration, President Hu Jintao and Premier Wen Jiabao. And what they've done is to create an image of, you know, leaders who are close to the people. They go out to the countryside, they make dumplings with the farmers, they look and inspect people's beds in their pots and pans and talk about daily life with them. And they're trying to show that, you know, unlike some past leaders, they don't act like emperors. They're not aloof from the people. They've been touring the province all week now, doing this, and it seems to be playing very well among the masses. You hear some voices saying, "Well, what else should they be doing at a time like this?" But I think generally, it's playing very well.
Anthony, you've been in China for a long time. Think back to how the government has responded to earlier crises. I'm thinking of HIV/AIDS, the SARS epidemic, and compare it with how they're responding and treating this earthquake disaster. What's different?
Oh, I think it's very clear that they've learned a lot from those previous disasters and from the problems that came up because they were not transparent and not timely in releasing information. I think the closest example was the 2003 outbreak of SARS, or severe acute respiratory syndrome, and the speed at which that spread, and the panic buying and the general panic among the population was clearly related to the fact that they were not upfront with the people about this disease.
There was denial, right, on the part of the government?
There was a cover-up. In March of 2003, the national legislature was in session, and leaders of the Beijing government were sacked for not informing the central government about the scope of this problem. It was a whistleblower, an army doctor, who uncovered the problem and got it out in the open.
So you see a very different approach now in how they're responding to this crisis.
I think it's very clear from the papers that that's what we're seeing, that if they're worried about rumors, if they're worried about social instability, if they're worried about the population panicking, this is the thing to do. Let the journalists go out there and just satisfy this tremendous need for timely information.
A sea change, you think?
I think it's an extremely significant change in the area of disaster reporting. Whether this will translate into more openness on political reporting is an entirely different matter. I think it's very clear that they've thought hard about this and realized that it's hard to lose, you know, by letting the media do its job with this sort of story.
Okay, NPR's Anthony Kuhn here with us in Chengdu, the provincial capital of Sichuan. Anthony, thanks so much.
Thanks, Melissa.